Good morning. Welcome to Oak Hill Church. My name is Drew Skog. I'm the Director of Community Life here, and I just want to extend a special welcome, whether you're worshiping with us in person or online this morning. It's so good to be together, especially after some rain. I know my yard could need it. But speaking of grass, I have a few announcements that I wanted to bring up this morning to keep in your calendars. The first is that we'll have our Pastor's Masters coming up here. So all you golfers, if you're interested in going, we would like to know that. So please let the church office know and we'll get you registered. The deadline for that is September 9th. So if you're looking to get out on the greens and enjoy a beautiful day with me and Ben and Josiah, just let us know and we would love to play some golf with you. And you will beat at least me because I'm not a good golfer. But so anyways, next Sunday we have the service coming up at 10:30. It'll be a service time change. And so on 9:05. Next Sunday, just keep in mind that we'll be starting at 10:30 instead of 10, but the coffee will be on if you forget and show up a little bit early. And then we have our worship night coming up on Sunday the 19th, so that's a week after the kickoff. And so that's designed, you know, we'll have communion, we'll worship together as a church family, and that'll be later that night at 7 p.m. on a Sunday. So, you know, just take an hour out of your week to just slow down and take a breath. You know, experience the rest that comes from spending time and worshiping together as a congregation. It's going to be an awesome night. And then obviously, in two Sundays from now, on September 12th, we have kickoff Sunday for all of the fall ministries going on. So you can show up at 9:30 for the Sunday school festivities. And then after the church service, which will be at 10:30, we'll have a lunch and carnival-style games, just an opportunity to hang out as a church and have all of the families together. It'll be an awesome, awesome afternoon, and we really hope you're able to join us for that. Now, if you're able, please stand with me for the call to worship. It comes from Psalm 145, 17 through 21 this morning. It reads, "The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him, yes, to all who call on him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless his holy name forever and ever."
Thank you. can go ahead and take a seat. Man, I love that song. And the part that sticks out to me in that song the most is that we are invited to the altar. We're invited to God. We're invited to ask Him for His mercy, for His forgiveness, and His love, despite our sin, our weaknesses, and our struggles. You know, we have a God that is so big, and His sacrifice was so powerful that despite our brokenness, He invites us to Himself. How powerful is that? And He doesn't care what other people think. He doesn't care if that's not the way that we normally operate, this kind of undeserving love. That's what He does for you and for me. Check out this passage from Matthew 9, verses 10 through 13. It says this: "While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with Him and His disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they asked His disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' On hearing this, Jesus said, 'It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" See, that was a big no-no for Jesus to invite the tax collectors and sinners into His house. That's something that you just didn't do at that time. If you wanted a reputable name, if you wanted to be known well in the community, that's not something that people would do. But yet He invited the tax collectors, the traders, the sinners to Him. He invited them to Himself. And He said, and He ate with them, and He talked with them, and He loved them, despite of all of that. And that's what He does for us too. So praise God for His faithfulness. Let's pray. God, thank You that as we approach Your altar, as we approach You, despite our sin, You love us. You've forgiven us, despite of everything, despite our struggles, You still invite us to Yourself. God, thank You that for this love that we are so undeserving, but You give to us. Help us to extend that kind of love to others. We praise You, Lord, and love You. Amen.
Amen. Please stand and continue worshiping with us. Jesus, You brought
Lord, we thank you that we can come before you. We thank you for your powerful name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow one day. We thank you that we can bow before you this morning. May you speak to our hearts. May your word bear fruit in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I don't get to do this too often, but every once in a while they let me. Not that I'm always looking to preach. But it is a privilege to be able to share the word with you this morning. We are looking at a great passage, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. I know it's going to be up there, but I would encourage you to have your Bible open because I'm going to just preach through that passage. That's what we're looking at. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21, and it reads as follows. For this reason I kneel, this is Paul praying, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. As we go through life, it is good to have people who pray for us. I was thinking about a couple people that have prayed for me all of my life, basically. My mother, I'm sure my dad prayed for me, but I always think of my mother praying for me. I miss her prayers. She died about 4 years ago. I know that she, whenever I was preaching, she was always praying for me. And then there was Pastor Willie Gunderson. I think some of you know him. You know, I was sick and all that kind of stuff, and I was on his list, his prayer list, that, and I know that he prayed every morning for me. He told me. He called me up every once in a while, find out how I was doing. He passed away this last May. I miss his prayers. And I'm sure as you reflect back on your life, you can think of different people who have prayed for you. People that prayed for your salvation. People that prayed for a health need in your life. People that prayed about a work situation that you were going through. And I'm sure that you have also prayed for others. It is good to be prayed for, isn't it? And it's good that we can pray for one another. It's part of the blessing of being a part of the body of Christ, that we can pray for one another. This morning we are looking at this wonderful prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the believers at Ephesus. Paul had spent 3 years living in Ephesus and preaching the gospel to the Gentiles there mainly, and there were many Gentiles that had come to faith in Jesus. The gospel had borne fruit. The good news of Jesus had come alive for the people, and the church was found there. People had come to faith, and there was a church there that was formed. But some years later now, Paul finds himself in prison, and he writes this letter of encouragement to the people in Ephesus called Ephesians. And in this letter, we find this prayer. It is a prayer for them, but also, as with all of Scripture, it is a prayer for us. So think of this morning. This prayer is for you personally. It's a prayer for us. We find Paul kneeling before the Father, praying, earnestly praying. I get this picture a bit like a parent earnestly praying for their children. In this prayer, I see seven different aspects or parts that we'll talk about. And I'll test you afterwards to see if you know all seven. No, I won't do that. But I'm picking out seven different aspects or parts. First is the prayer for strength, verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Are we ever weak, in need of strength? Strength to get through a stressful day? Strength to get through preaching Sunday morning? I prayed this prayer. I remembered this phrase, Lord, I am weak. May you be strong this morning. Strength to get through a health crisis. Strength to get through a family or work situation. Strength to deal with our sinful nature. Listen to this. Out of God's glorious riches, he can strengthen us. See, God has the resources, doesn't he? He is capable. Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. God is rich in all ways, and so is able to strengthen us. Strengthens us with dynamo power. You see, the Greek word translated in this text is dynamo, from which we get the word dynamite. The dynamo power comes to us through the Holy Spirit living in us and in our own strength. So it's not in our own strength, but always in God's strength. And with God's strength, we can get through some of the difficulties that we can face in life. With God's strength, we can live lives for Christ. It is less of our own strength and more about God's strength. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, Paul was taught this lesson. It reads, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When we are weak, then God can be strong in our lives. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through my own strength? No, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Secondly, from our text, it is a prayer for Christ to dwell in us. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Christ setting up residency in our own lives. When I think of Christ in our lives, I think of the salvation that comes to us because of Christ. I think of being redeemed by his blood. I think of being made perfect. Imagine that, made perfect in Christ. I think of being forgiven for all of my sins. I think of being filled up with God's love. Scripture talks about our bodies being the temple of God. The wonder of this. The wonder that God would want to dwell in us. The wonder that God Almighty dwells in us. He says so. His Holy Spirit is present in us. Oh Lord, may you dwell in us more richly today. Thirdly, it is a prayer to know and grasp God's love. Verse 18 and 19 in our text, it says, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the measure of all the fullness of God. Dear Lord, may we grasp, may we know, may we comprehend your love. Not just a surface, I know God loves me. Yeah, sure. Yeah, God loves you. You know, everybody says that. God loves us. Sometimes they complain about it. If God loves us so much, why do these things happen? No, to know God's love. Know it in our heart and in our mind and in our soul. It's an interesting prayer, isn't it? To know God's love that is beyond knowledge. To know God's love that is beyond knowledge. How can we? I am not sure that we can. But I think we can know more. Job 11, verses 7 through 9, talks about some of the awesomeness of God. Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens above. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths below. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. God's love is unknowable, infinite. How wide and long, high and deep is the love of Christ. The expositor's commentary says this: God's love is wide enough to reach the whole world and beyond. God's love is long enough to stretch from eternity to eternity. God's love is high enough to raise all nationalities and peoples to the heavenly places. And God's love is deep enough to rescue people from sin's degradation and the grip of Satan. See, God's love reaches into the palaces of the rich and famous, and also into the homeless encampments all over the world. God's love reaches into all walks of life. May we grasp and know God's great love. Psalm 145, 8 and 9 says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. 1 John 3, 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. May we know God's love. Fourthly, it is a prayer to be established in love. Verse 17 says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, established in love, in God's love, rooted in God's love. We know that a tree that is firmly rooted is able to survive violent storms. An individual firmly rooted in God's love, or dependent on God's love, feeding on God's love, enjoying the benefits of God's love, will be able to grow and flourish even in the midst of the trials of life. Fifthly, a prayer to be filled up with God. Verse 19. and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We pray that we might be filled up with the fullness and completeness of God. Wow. The fullness of God. Often it seems easier for the opposite to happen. Matthew 23:32, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "Fill up then the measure of the sin of your forefathers." Or Acts 5:3, Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land?" Filled up with sin, that seems easy. Oh Lord, may we be filled up to the measure of all the fullness of God. As the old hymn says, "Fill my cup, Lord, fill it up, Lord, make me full." Sixth, a prayer for the impossible, verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. See, God can do the miraculous in us, can't he? God can and does do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Imagine that. He can do more. God is able to do the impossible. I find myself oftentimes not expecting to see God do the impossible. Well, that's not going to happen. God couldn't do that. I need this verse. I need to be reminded that God can do the impossible. I need to be reminded of it. In fact, he can do the impossible and immeasurably more. Lastly, it is a prayer of praise, verse 21. "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Romans 11:36, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." As the hymn says, "To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." A prayer for the Ephesians. A prayer for Oak Hill. A prayer for us individually. It's a prayer for strength. God is capable. A prayer for Christ to dwell in us. A prayer to know and grasp God's love. A prayer to be established, rooted in his love. A prayer to be filled up with God, the Almighty God. A prayer for the impossible to happen. A prayer of praise. This morning I'd like to close by reading this passage as a prayer, but making it a little bit more personal. Let's pray. "For this reason, Lord, we kneel before you this morning, before you, Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And we pray that out of your glorious riches, that you may strengthen us with your power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that you, Christ, may dwell in our hearts through faith. And we pray that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled up to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to you, Lord, to you who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us, to you be the glory in the church, in Oak Hill, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Please stand. We're going to continue worshiping. Great is His faithfulness.
There is none.
You guys sound beautiful. Thank you for that this morning. And thank you, Manly, for sharing from God's word this morning and reminding us of the power of prayer and the love of God in Christ that strengthens us and fills us up and forgives us, does all these things in ways that we'll never be able to comprehend. It's incredible that we're loved by an almighty God that can do anything. He's with us right now, this morning. Hear now this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Peace.